This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, welcome to Horse Hour. I'm Amy Frost and my guest today is Sandy Phillips. Sandy's ridden internationally in dressage and eventing. She was a member of the US Olympic dressage team and rode in 3 world championships. She moved to England and became a member of the British dressage team for the Europeans and world championships, as well as British national champion. Sandy's an FEI iJudge for both eventing and dressage, and you'll hear her speaking at the International Eventing Forum next week. This is Horse Hour. Welcome to the Horse Hour podcast. My guest today is international dressage trainer, judge and rider Sandy Phillips. Sandy's going to be talking at the International Eventing Forum on the 5th of February, giving her expert advice. Sandy, how are you?
Good morning. I'm very well, thank you.
That is quite a mouthful of an introduction, isn't it, of everything that you've done in the industry. It's incredible. What was it that started, you know, where did your passion come from? Was it your younger days? Was it just the love of horses?
I'm afraid I've been addicted to them since as long as I can remember. My grandmother was very keen on riding, and so I spent most of my childhood following her around the stables.
What did she do? Was she a dressage rider or an eventer?
No. I grew up in Hawaii. And at that time, there was nothing too formal. And so they had a cattle ranch. So I grew up riding Western and herding cattle.
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh. So you're super brave. That's very different, Sandy, to international dressage.
Well, I hated dressage. All I wanted to do was jump and gallop my ponies on the beach and take them swimming and jump everything I could see. And it was when I had a little bit of success with eventing, I was always held back by my terrible dressage scores. So I figured I had to go and learn something about that phase.
Do you know, that's really interesting. I've heard that quite a lot lately, of the passion and the speed of cross-country and the technique of jumping the fences and show jumping, that people are struggling more with the dressage. And then once they realise that actually dressage is the basis and skeleton of all disciplines, I believe, they then suddenly go, oh, wow, you know, this is when you understand it, it's kind of an eye-opener, isn't it?
Well, that's the key, isn't it? It's the understanding. And when you're a kid, all you want to do is jump on and go fast. And the last thing you want to think about or hear is somebody telling you how to put your heels down and sit straight and, you know, little technical things that you really could care less about.
So at what point was it that your mind changed and, you know, was it doing more dressage? What was it about the dressage that you loved so much?
It was a development because of a particular event horse I had that was basically unrideable on the flat. So I never did dressage with him to events and jumped him, and he ended up being second at Badminton.
Oh, wow.
And go on the world championship, and when I got there to the training camp, trainer at the time tried to make me train the horse. I told him that I never trained the horse, and he said, that's not possible, you have to be able to train the horse. And I said, well, I have a pact with this horse. We have an understanding that if I don't pressure him and make him do these things he doesn't want, then he'll do them for me in the test well enough. Mm. And he didn't agree, and which I understand from his point of view now, but I would always tell any rider that you know your horse best. The trainer may have all the best intentions, but you know your horse, and you must be true to your horse. So I followed this trainer's directions, and my horse went completely crazy. So I basically couldn't. He was pretty unrideable for a couple of years. And I had another horse that I had brought along at the time who was a dressage horse, and I ended up doing well on this horse. So they sent me to Germany for a month to work under the trainer who was coach at that time. George Teodorescu was his name. And this man sat on my event horse and in 20 minutes put him in a balance and totally transformed everything I'd ever seen in my entire life. I was absolutely gobsmacked and decided I wasn't leaving Germany until I could do what he'd just done.
It sounded like a good plan, and it worked, didn't it? How long did it take you to do what he did?
Oh, it took a long, long time, quite a few years. But the thing was, no one had ever explained it to me, putting a horse in balance and actually the mechanics of it and what you need to do to achieve that. So once it was explained, then I'm a fairly logical person, so it made sense to me. So then I had something to work on rather than just this, you know, make a rounder circle, have more expression. You know, the comments that you get aren't always helpful to understanding what you actually need to do.
And how do you explain that now, Sandy, for people that are trying to understand how to balance your horse and, you know, have them in good contact, as it's called? How would you explain that?
Well, all of riding is about balance. Doesn't matter whether you're jumping, show jumping, cross country, or dressage. So it is the development of that balance that allows you to do as well or as not well, because your horse will find it easy when it's in balance to show itself off to the best of its ability. Mm-hmm. So as a rider, my job is to understand how to put my horse in the best balance that he can give me at that time. So obviously when he's 3 and 4 and 5, he's going to be not as strong and not able to hold his balance like you would when he's 7 or 8. So it's, as a rider, developing your understanding of how horses develop and being able to develop them according to their age and their talent. You know, it's like lots of things. Some talented horses can learn things quicker, but still they don't have the physical strength. So if you keep repeating hard exercises because they actually find them easy, that's when you get veterinary issues coming in.
And it's difficult for a rider as well. We've got to have the strength to be able to keep them in the balance. And from, because I'm actually going through this process at the moment with my own horse of trying to get him balanced. And my goodness, I have stitches all over the place. I'm exhausted because he's a big boy and it's not easy. And I'm surprised as a rider, I'm surprised at how heavy he is in the early days when you're trying to teach them to lift themselves up.
There's two things to that. The riders has a huge responsibility to be fit themselves. And when I say that, I mean fit in their core, because I must be able to balance myself with my core muscles, not with my hand, or my horse will never be properly in balance. Mm. And then if you understand how to work horses from the ground so that they learn the basic, that when you get on, what does it mean when you put your leg on? Does it mean just go faster, go straight ahead? You know, what does it actually mean? And when you teach a horse to be able to bend from your leg, what makes a horse strong? It's when its shoulders go straight ahead and the energy from the haunches push the horse on the shoulders. So then all you can do with your hands is pull back. So you have the horse in the wrong balance because you're pushing and pulling. So it's the wrong sequence in the timing to be able to make a horse engage and improve its self-carriage. I teach my horses, all my young horses start in the stable, and I teach them what I mean with my hand being my leg, teach them what I mean and where I want them to place their hind leg so that the shoulder can lift. And they all learn to walk around the stable, do a halt, walk, change direction. And they understand how to make the haunches lift the front. So then when I get on, they know what I'm talking about. Or they have at least some idea.
That's interesting. Do you do that by yourself? Or do you have somebody else to help put the horse's leg in the right position?
No, I do it by myself. It's very simple if you understand the mechanics of how these animals move. It's not complicated. It's just the haunches need to take the weight, whereas the horses are naturally built on their forehand. So it's not normal for them, and you teach them to place the inside hind leg under their body so they can take the weight there, and then the energy of when they step there pushes the forehand forward and up. So they learn that timing with your aid, and the haunches lift the forehand, and there you go.
Yeah, amazing. Is there an element of the horses, because you say it's very natural as well, so the horses naturally are on their forehand and we're trying to show them to be on their hind legs. In my head, I'm thinking, well, I've had lots of lessons and I know what I'm supposed to do and I know what the horse is supposed to do, but I have to actually change my own mindset as a rider as well sometimes into what I'm expecting to feel, because until you feel that for the first time, you're only imagining what it's supposed to feel like. And I remember being really shocked that in the first instance it was go, 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 get the horse moving forward, and then I felt like I had nothing on the end, you know, nothing on the head at all. So it was all about learning about my balance, and then I was shocked at how heavy the horse was to start with until he got that balance. And then the second he got that balance, I felt like I was flying on a flying carpet, because again I had nothing in the bit, as it were. I had nothing on my hands. And I'm imagining that's the way it's... Is that the way it's supposed to be? Are you supposed to not feel much, or is it supposed to be heavy?
Well, you know, every horse is different. It's like, you know, when you hold someone's hand, how much pressure do you like to feel? Everyone has a different idea of what is comfortable for them. So you need to figure out with your horse what achieves a consistent and comfortable connection that both of you are happy with. If it's too light, you'll probably run into some problems at some point. If it's too heavy, it'll be the same thing. So you need to find the middle road that you're both happy with. And it's about, as a rider, when I sit on the horse, I have to find a place to sit in the saddle, and I have to, it's the timing which is the crucial part, because I have to be able to give my aids without my, when my leg comes on, my hand cannot tense back and my body cannot tense backward. And that is the biggest, most difficult thing for people to learn, because they push and pull, and that makes a jam. It blocks the movement. It blocks the energy coming from the back through to the front of the horse. So it's learning a coordination of the aid, of that you can put your leg on and you bring the energy from behind to the front, whether it's a 1-inch step or a 12-foot stride. And that's a very difficult thing for people to understand to begin with. It's not about going fast. It's about energy and where you want to place that energy.
Isn't it amazing that moment that you get that feel, and even if it's for a stride, and you can feel it, like we always say, it's always about the feel. Because ultimately my question before was, because I'm a bit soft, as many of our listeners are very gentle with our horses, we're all about horse welfare and we want to make sure that we're not hurting them or training them incorrectly. So along with our trainers, we want to make sure we're not doing that pushing, pulling. We're not holding our horses' heads down. And we're trying to show them that this is, that they can carry themselves. And I remember the moment that Blackjack got it for the first time. It was only a couple of strides and it felt incredible. No wonder you love the sport so much. It was just harmony. And I remember saying to my instructor, Rachel, my goodness, like, that's it. I need to call it a day now, because we've only done 2 strides, but I've done it.
Well, that's right. And, you know, it also depends how people learn. I'm a very visual person. And so if I see someone do it, then I know what I'm looking for. And I'm a copycat, so I can copy what I see. So I teach my horses this work from the ground, and it's the same idea. If I have a student with me, and they watch what I'm doing, and they can see the timing, and they can see the effect it has on the horse. Then they have a visual idea of what they're trying to achieve when they get on.
So your horses now then, Sandy, because your career's moved on to where you're a top FEI judge in both eventing and dressage, and you know you were at Rio judging there, which is it must have been such an incredible opportunity and experience for you. Was that good?
Oh, it was fabulous, yeah. It was one of the highlights is always to be able to go to the Olympics and, you know, and participate for me in another way from, you know, being a competitor to being a judge was fabulous. And we had a great team of judges and, you know, some fantastic horses and riders and an amazing result. I mean, no one expected France to win, I can tell you. But that's sport, and it was great.
It was funny because I was a real backseat judge, and I remember looking at your scoring points going, yes, Sandy, yes, I agree. I thought it was brilliant, really enjoyed it. But in terms of your, you know, now that you're judging and now that you're still instructing, are you still finding time to ride? Do you still ride your own horses?
I ride them not as often as I did before because it's all about continuity. And when I ride, I expect a certain amount of my horses and they get used to that, and then when someone else gets on them who doesn't, it's a bit like making your child have good manners at the table, and then you go away for a week and the nanny doesn't make them put their napkin on their lap or, you know, eat with their fingers, and then they then get confused. Basically, it's like anything, they're like kids, they need a steady way to follow that is consistent. So I tend to, because I'm away so much, I do a lot of work from the ground with my riders. And if I need to get on, I do. So it's a mixture of things.
And how many horses do you have now?
Probably about 25.
Oh, my goodness. And you own all of them?
Yes, I've done a lot of breeding from my good mares. The mare that I rode, who was the national champion, and I rode at the Worlds, I have a lot of foals from her who are very nice.
Oh, how lovely, because you can start the groundwork from when they're real babies then, can't you? And you can lead them. Oh.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast. Alongside my good friend, John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
How amazing. Well, because I can imagine you taking on a lot of broken horses as well, because you sound really kind.
Well, it's just understanding. You know, many people who, like myself, I did not understand dressage at all. I thought it was completely boring because I had no idea how it worked. And when you understand something, then it's easy to be calm and considerate, and because you know what to do.
Out of your career, we're always learning all the time, different ways, different techniques, the science that's coming out at the moment is incredible for helping our horses' movements. Is there is there one thing that was like a light bulb moment for you, other than your lovely friend in Germany, that you thought, actually, this is what's going to take me from one rider to the international level?
No, I'd ridden at the international level before I went to Germany, and I had gotten away with a certain amount of talent and some nice horses. But when I look back, I was not riding well, and I certainly didn't have much understanding about what I was doing. I just had a natural feel for cross country. I'm quite brave, so I didn't mind going running and jumping over whatever was in front of me. It didn't bother me, but I wasn't very technical. So it was when I finally got an explanation that I could understand that made sense, then I started to have some building blocks that I could play with. And, I've had, since that trainer, I've worked with some other trainers, and some of them, there's another trainer that I really respect, Hubert Schmidt, is also a very, amazing rider about being able to put a horse in balance. And that's what I really look for, is riders that can do that without harsh bits, draw reins, all that sort of stuff.
It sounds like you're very soft with the horses, gentle with the horses. Horse welfare, I'm presuming, is really important to you, because you just sound like you care about them.
I've had them all since the day they were born. So
they're your babies.
They're like my kids, yes.
Yeah. So I have a question. When you then stepped up to become an FEI judge, they use, please correct me if I'm wrong, but they use different bits. So there's this double bridle that they have to use, and they do look quite harsh. I mean, they might not be. I don't know.
No.
I'm hoping you can tell me, but
they're not harsh. No, what you have to understand is the reason for the double is so that you can refine your aids even more. So you use, the more your horse is trained, you should use less and less aid to get the same results. So when the kid is young, I have to be really black and white and say, now this is what's allowed, this is not. And then once they understand, I don't have to speak in such a loud voice, they understand. So it's the same with the horse. So as they move up the levels, and their balance increases, and they know the movements, and they know more what's expected of them, then the double bridle comes in so that you have more control by doing even less. Mm-hmm. So basically, if you watch the top riders, they control the horse with their seat. Mm-hmm. And it's not controlled with the hand. The hand is receiving the result of the energy that the rider has been able to create from behind. So you receive the energy into your hand, and if you are hard with your hand, you shut it down so you don't get a good score, because you aren't going to show self-carriage, impulsion. You can't show impulsion with a 10-ton weight on the front. Mm-hmm. It just won't happen. So it's about being able to show the lightness, the self-carriage, everything you can read in the directives of the tests, everything we want to see in a more refined way. Mm. And it's like anything, people can abuse it. People can put them on horses that are too strong. Why are they too strong? Because the rider hasn't put them in balance. So they can use double bridles to control horses like that. And, I don't think it's not the way to do it, but you're always going to have some situations like that, but with education, you hope that becomes less and less.
Mm. Oh, that makes perfect sense.
But I think the difficult thing is for riders, wanting to come along this path, is I cannot tell you how important it is to go and watch really good trainers as much as you can. If you can't afford lessons every week, you need to train your eye to see what's right. And I can tell you, trainers they're not ogres, and if you ask them questions, they will answer you. Mm. And that's how I grew up, I just asked 1 million questions, and I never stopped asking questions. And they're going to answer you. They'll tell you. And then you have something to work on that week, and then you go back again, and you go and you keep going back, because it's no good having a lesson once a month or once every 2 weeks. And it's great if you got your two steps, but to do a whole dressage test, you need a lot more than two steps. Mm. So to build that and to have the confidence that you're doing the right thing, you need repetition. And you just, best thing you can do is train your eye by going to watch quality work.
And it's, you know, when we go to competitions, it's I find it fascinating going, watching everybody warm up, because you can see the warm up rings, and quite often the trainers are there and they're just giving them a few tips. And I pick up loads of advice just from watching that. I find it amazing.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, Sandy, so your balance, I have to ask you this. Do you think you got your balance from your Western riding days?
I probably got my balance from my bareback riding days. We used to ride bareback everywhere. And so I spent many, many, many years riding bareback and Western and all that.
Because there's a big divide between Western and English. And when I look at Western riders and the guys based over in America, and I think, oh, their balance is always incredible. The, you know, when you were going and chasing the cattle, herding the cattle, and... And I think because they don't seem to have anything on the end of their hand. So, and I had a go at Western riding once, and it was a whole nother world. I mean, I used my body so much more, even though the position's slightly different. You know, it's not as upright. I think I was sat upright because I was used to English. But I really felt my core working. And sometimes I think there's such a big divide between the different disciplines in equestrianism. We all could learn a little bit from each other.
There's not a difference. Yes. Certain technicalities in tests that you need to do, of course, but it is all about balance. And when I first went to Germany, given that I had ridden at the World Championships and a bunch of other international things, this trainer took one look at me and said, well, I'll tell you the whole story. So I walked in the school this was my first day. So I'm on my horse on the inside track, just walking on a long rein, and I'm watching everybody else going around doing their stuff, and this voice says, don't pull back. So I'm turning around looking, and I can't see who they're talking about, and 30 seconds later the voice says the same thing louder, and now I'm, you know, really turning around, and then he screams, I said don't pull back. And I turn around and I said, are you talking to me? He said, yes. I said, I'm on the buckle on a flapping long rein. He says, yes, look where your hand is. So I had my elbow bent, so my hand was like straight in front of me, but it was up, just like straight in front of me. He says, you're pulling back. I said, the reins are in a loop on both sides. He said, put your hand down. Put my hand down, the horse put its head down, and it increased its walk by I can't tell you what. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, I am in big trouble here. So he says to me, now, go on a 20-meter circle. Put your horse and shoulder in. Put your reins in the outside hand. You go from walk to trot, trot to canter, canter to trot, canter to walk. You do every transition with the reins in one hand, in shoulder in, until you can do them all and your horse is pushing from behind to the bit. You are not allowed off this 20-meter circle. Well.
Oh, my gosh.
So, 1 month later, I was allowed off the circle. And 2 weeks later, I had to go on my first international in Germany at Neumünster. So that's the, you know, people don't know what hard work is now. They think hard work is 10 minutes of, you know, put your horse together. I'm telling you, I used to get off this horse. I couldn't stand up. I had to lean against the wall. My back was so tired and from trying to get this horse from behind without using my hand. Oh. Mm. That's what really needs to happen if people really want to learn. It is not airy-fairy. You need to be really strong in your core, and you need to be to understand what hard work is. It's not... You get what you put in, you know?
How did you do at that competition?
How did I do that competition? Well, I laughed. The trainer was absolutely furious with me. It was so cold that the arenas were frozen. Mm. And so the judges had to have fan heaters at their feet in front of the podiums. So my horse went in, and there was a fan heater at E, and you had to do the half pass and to E and then back the other way. So it got sort of to the quarter line, heard and saw the fan heater with the thing billowing out, and, you know, checked out and went the other way. Did the same thing when it was heading to C, just turned too early, and so it was not a good test. So I came out, well, saying, oh, well, you know, this trainer was furious. That's not good enough. You should never have allowed it, on and on and on. And I still laugh now when I think about it. But, yes, was it, you know, if it had been the World Championships, well, that would not have been good. But it was an international, and, you know, we lived to fight another day, and I had to get better and stronger about being able to control the back end of my horse to keep it in front of me. Mm. So that didn't happen. But was I going to kill myself over it happening on that day? No. But it didn't happen again.
Oh, did it? did he ever shout at you again? I think I would have been in tears.
Well, we all have a journey, you know, and if you want to do it badly enough, you will find a way to do it. And I was determined to learn the correct way. And, you know, there's a lot of, it's not just a straight road. There are always a few hurdles on the way.
Well, Sandy, thank you so, so much for sharing those stories. We can't wait to see you at the International Eventing Forum on the 5th of February. You're joined by some incredible guests. I love this forum. There's Frederick Bergendorf, co-founder Eric Smiley. Do you know what time you're on, Sandy?
I believe I'm the first one on, first guinea pig.
Oh, perfect. So, and have you got riders with you? Are you going to be doing like a rider display?
I've got two event riders that are going to be joining me.
Oh, fab. Who are they?
Tom McEwen and Jonty Evans.
Oh, amazing. Oh, two really fun riders as well. So you can have a giggle while you're doing it.
Hopefully we will.
Jonty's always smiling. He's always smiling.
I know, he's great.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's fab. So that's the 5th of February. Sandy, we can't wait to watch you. Thank you so, so much. I hope you weather the storm okay. And and we'll see you on the 5th.
All right. Look forward to it.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. You can still get tickets to the International Eventing Forum, which is on the 5th of February, if you just head to their website, internationaleventingforum.com, and we will put that on our website, horsehour.co.uk, and of course on Twitter as well. I hope you enjoy Horse Hour on Twitter this evening. Our networking hour is between 8 p.m. and 9 p.m. UK time every Monday night. Gives you the chance just to share your stories with you and your horses, whether it's pictures or videos, or if you'd like to ask some advice as well. You can get more advice on our website, horsehour.co.uk, in our education hub, and stay up to date with everything that's going on in the event season, and of course on Instagram and Facebook too. I hope you have a really good week with your horse, and I'll speak to you soon.
You've been listening to Horse Hour. Join the community on Twitter, Mondays, 8 p.m. UK time, 3 p.m. Eastern, by using the hashtag Horse Hour. Follow Amy at AmyStevenson1 and subscribe to us on Acast, iTunes, Stitcher and Player FM.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.